Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Somebody's coming.
Look at this.
What is it?
A worldwide adventure.
Hurry up, let's go.
Over here.
A family of rivals. A game of wits. A reward beyond measure.
What could it be?
Will it be yours?
A children's book series uses a big cash prize, the web, and a series of authors to entice young readers. Have your kids figured out the 39 clues? Well, maybe they haven't, but you're about to. My next guests are David Levithan, who oversees the editorial direction of the 39 Clues, and Peter Larangis, who's the author of the 39 Clues, The Sword Thief, number 7 in the wildly popular series. Thank you, gentlemen, for being here today.
Thanks. It's a great pleasure. Thanks for having us.
I'm Jamie Floyd. I'm in for Brian Lehrer. Well, I guess I'll begin by asking you, Peter, how you got involved with the 39 Clues. This is not the first of the series that you've written. This is, I think, the second.
This is the second
installment for you. Wow.
Right.
So how'd you get involved?
Well, it started when I got a phone call from David, who's sitting right next to me, who is my longtime editor at Scholastic. And Scholastic actually began with the idea for this series and brought it to a team of authors, which had never been done before. So to begin with, the project was absolutely one of the most unusual things I'd ever heard, like a different writer writing each book. None of us had ever tried this kind of thing. So then we were presented with the basic story idea. I mean, if you can imagine, two kids, Amy and Dan, 14, 11 years old, orphans. Their parents have died in a mysterious fire.
Gotta have orphans.
Of course.
Orphans are big.
And the person that they love the most is their grandmother, Grace. Grace is the perfect grandmother. She's wonderful. And then one day she dies and they show up at the reading of her will. Only at this reading, there are hundreds of other people obviously related to them. They don't recognize a person. The person reading the will says, "Ladies and gentlemen, look under your seats. Under each seat is an envelope which says you inherit $1 million. Well, of course, that's fantastic. But there's a caveat. You can rip up the $1 million, forsake it, and choose to go on a hunt for 39 clues leading to the greatest power ever known to humankind." Well, they decide to take the hunt, and they discover that they're part of this family that goes back 500 years and includes people like Ben Franklin and Mozart and some of the great conquerors of the world, Madame Curie, Amelia Earhart.
I think Cleopatra's in there.
There are a lot in there, and they're all part of this family. So they discover that the clues are left by some of these people, and they have to go all over the world to find them.
Now, what intrigues me about this, and I guess I'm going to come over to you, David, on this. There are some things that make this series, because there are so many series for mm-hmm. children. Of course, we all think of Harry Potter, but if you have children or nieces or nephews or grandchildren, you know that there are many, many competitors out there for 39 Clues. What's different about this, there are many things that are different, but one of the things that's unique is that you're working with several authors, which I think is a really catchy thing, but uniquely challenging as well. Why do that?
Well, I think we knew we had a sort of groundbreaking series here because it is a multi-platform series and it works on many different levels with the games and the cards and the books. And so with the books, we really wanted to bring different voices, that we wanted each author to really put their own imprint on the book and really make it special. It's sort of like the Harry Potter movies or James Bond movie where the different director each time brings a different thing to it. So the idea was to have each of the authors, like Peter or Gordon Corman or Rick Riordan, bring their own special thing to these characters and take them on different adventures.
Is the series a way for Scholastic to hold on to its Harry Potter readers?
I mean, I think it's just a way of broadening readership, period. I mean, I think we really, the reason it's multi-platform and it is a fully immersive game and card experience as well as book experience is that we wanted to get the traditional readers, the kids who love Harry Potter or many other series, or Rick Riordan's other series, but we also wanted to get the kids who didn't really feel any kinship to books, that they're more the gamers or the card collectors.
And that's one of the things that drew my kids to the book, one of the reasons I wanted to bring you here. Talk about this multi-platform thing, the web, the cards. Yeah. I mean, there's so much stuff with
Absolutely.
This. It's not just a book.
No, it's a fully immersive world.
I mean, it seems very forward-thinking.
Thank you. No, it is, no, it's very groundbreaking, and it took a lot of choreography. I mean, this was something we spent a good 2 years developing. And the idea was that, I mean, as Peter said, that in the books you're following Amy and Dan Cahill as they're hunting for the 39 mm-hmm. clues. And the extra element and why it's multi-platform is that then you, a kid, can go on the web and become a Cahill yourself and go on the same hunt. And that sort of fully immersive experience wasn't something we had ever seen before or tried before. And so that really has drawn the kids in.
I mean, as a writer, what would appeal to me?
That's my question for you as a writer. What did appeal to you? Because it seems to me that would be very challenging to, first of all, be a part of what needs to be have some continuity, but you're working with all these other authors and this multi-platform thing. So what's appealing about it?
What it boils down to is the story. I mean, it's all about communicating a story to kids. And, you know, just as Homer did it verbally, and, you know, we progressed into writing and we progressed into printing and then mass publishing. There are new ways to tell stories, but what our job was to make the story as compelling as possible. It's just a question of broadening the story to different platforms. So now we expand. So the core of this whole project is the books. Mm-hmm. If you try to go on the website without reading the books, it really doesn't make much sense. So it's about going there and bringing kids into the world of print, which is really about bringing them into the story. And so our job is to make the story as compelling as possible. If the kid likes the story, they can just stay with the books. But if they want to broaden it, enter the search themselves, they have different areas that they can do it. It's about taking the technology and not treating it as something separate and different, but as making it part of the storytelling experience. That's very exciting.
We would love to take calls. If your parents, if you are parents and your kids like the 39 clues, if they're fans, or if you're a librarian, I know my librarian loves it because there is this draw to the internet, and it's bringing kids back to the books through the internet. Give us a call, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Peter, would you read us a little piece of it? Because as you say, it is about, ultimately, the core of it is reading. Right. And that's what we want the kids to be doing, although we know they love that computer. And they're reading online. They're reading, that's fine. It's a form of reading. But turning the hard, crisp page is what it's about. So read a little piece of number 7, The Sword Thief. Ultimately, there will be how many? 10, David? 10 books?
There are 10 in this arc, yes.
Okay.
Well, Jamie, just one little correction. The Sword Thief is actually book 3. This is book 7, The Viper's Nest.
Oh, The Viper's Nest!
Well, the confusion is because I did write both.
Right. Please forgive me for confusing the two books in the series that you wrote. Yes, so Peter, who's written book 3 and now has authored the newest of the series, The Viper's Nest, which I just handed across to you for your autograph, by the way. So please read a section from The Viper's Nest.
All right, so the background is that they are coming in contact with different family members, and they don't know whether or not they can trust them. In this case, Uncle Alistair, who has been hot and cold the whole time, is in danger, and they have to decide whether or not they want to save themselves or risk their lives by saving him. "You're not going to leave me here, are you?" Alistair was looking at Amy now. His face registered shock, panic. It was an expression she recognized from the fire 2 nights before. "He was willing to save our lives," she thought. "He was about to jump off a ledge for us until Arena arrived." But she also knew the look from another time, from 7 years ago, when he had come to their house to steal a poem with a clue hidden in it, a poem that Hope Cahill and Arthur Trent, her parents, thought would solve the riddle of the 39 clues. "We only want what is ours," someone had said that during the night. Amy had heard the voice from the study just after the commotion had wakened her. Alistair's voice. Alistair hadn't set the fire, but he could have said something. He could have prevented. "Amy," Alistair said, "are you all right, dear?" Amy looked him in the eye. "Why did you keep it from them, the fact that you'd stolen the poem?" "This is hardly the time," Alistair stammered. "You could have told them," Amy said. "You could have shouted, 'I have the poem!' She was running into a fire, Uncle Alistair." "I was contending with so many people," Alistair said. "I could barely see straight. Eisenhower Holt had some cockamamie idea that we could use the neighbor's garden hose." "Eisenhower Holt was there too," Amy said. "And his wife, Mary Todd," Alistair said. Dan's face was red. "How many people were there just standing around doing nothing to help them?" "Eisenhower, yes. Amy saw him now, in her memory of the night, a gruff man with a red face and bristles for hair. They were in it all together, united. They may not have all set the fire, but without them, it wouldn't have happened. They were killers, all of them. Tears rushed to her eyes, but Amy kept them back. Without thinking, she grabbed Uncle Alistair's silk scarf and pulled him toward her. "I don't care if you're working with them or not," she said. "Either way, when they find you, they will make your life miserable." She let go and jumped into the back seat next to Dan. Nellie gunned the engine. "Wait! You can't!" Alistair sputtered, struggling with something at the top of his cane. "Oh?" Nellie said, stepping on the gas. "Watch me."
Wow, I'm in. Fantastic. Peter Larangis reading from The Viper's Nest. It is the seventh in the 39 Clues series. There will be 10 altogether. When does the next one come out, David?
The next one comes out in April.
April. And we do have a caller. Anne in Highland Park, New Jersey is on the line. Anne?
Hi, how are you?
Well, thank you for calling in.
My son loves these books. He's homeschooled. We actually use a couple of books for our English class.
Fantastic.
For reading.
Have you read all of them, or are you up to a particular number in the series?
I think the last book he read, I'm trying to think, The Black Circle.
You're well along. That's book number five, according to the experts. Well, keep reading, and as you heard, number seven is out, The Viper's Nest, and
he's excited. He wants to buy it at Borders.
Great. Fantastic. It's out, and you can get it. And David Levithan, I hear that there may be a movie in the works. Is this true?
Yes, it has been optioned by Steven Spielberg, and hopefully that will come to pass. It's really, really exciting, and it's been great because they've been really in from the beginning, and so we've really had a lot of conversation as we're progressing with the series, keeping that in mind.
Let's talk about web incorporation a little bit more, because it makes it so unique, and the trading cards, which are stuck all over the walls of my kids' bedroom.
Of course.
How unique is this multi-platform approach?
Oh, it's completely unique. I mean, no one had ever broken this ground before, and it really, we've learned a lot there, and it's amazing. We now have 900,000 kids who are registered onto the site. They're from all 50 states and from 191 countries, we didn't even know there were 191 countries.
Yeah.
So it's really just been amazing to see how immersive and really it appeals to kids from all over and all kinds of kids.
And as big as that number is, there are also 6 million of these books in print.
Right.
Fabulous. And Peter, I have about a minute left. Let's finish with a story about your fans in San Diego.
Yes.
A bit rapid. Is that a fair word?
I showed up at the school, got out of the car, heard this absolute roar, and people were flooding out of the schools. They had to set out traffic cones to keep them back, and even traffic cones for us to drive like an air lane. I got out of the car, and I didn't, you know, I couldn't believe that this was a reception for me, a middle-aged author. And the kids were in costumes, dressed as characters in the books. They were breaking through the traffic cones and mobbing me. Kids wanting high fives and coming back for a second high five and turning to their friends and saying, "I got two!" It was extraordinary. And
now
one of the
you
teachers,
know how Paul and Ringo.
Right.
And I thought, it's like I was a Jonas Brother.
I guess I'm dating myself with the Beatles. Well, it's terrific to have you both here. One of our callers wants to know what the appropriate age group is for these books.
It's 9 to 13 is the target.
9 to 13. Yeah. All right. Well, David Levithan, who oversees the editorial direction of the 39 Clues, and Peter Larangis, author of both The Sword Thief and The Viper's Nest.
Right.
Thank you so much for being with
Thanks
us.
Thanks for
Thank
having
you.
Me.
I'm Jamie Floyd in for Brian Lehrer. Thank you for listening, and I'll be back again tomorrow.